Welcome everyone to NICU Basics. This is Dr. Chaco, and today we're going to talk about fluid management. Fluid management in the NICU can quickly become a very complicated topic, but today let's try to cover some basics so that we can have a foundation to build off of. To start, let's begin with some of the associated physiology. The body composition of neonates changes with gestational age so that a smaller proportion of body weight is made up of water as infants get older. Water accounts for about 75% of the weight for a term infant, and that number gets closer to 90% for preterm infants. Additionally, the body surface area of the newborn is large, and the smaller the infant, the larger that surface area. Therefore, insensible water losses are greatest in the smallest of infants. Renal blood flow increases after birth due to increased blood pressure, and renin, angiotensin, and aldosterone all play a very active role in the first few weeks of life, along with ADH or antidiuretic hormone, all of which contribute to sodium and water dynamics. Infants that are stressed at birth may have a delayed diuresis phase due to elevated levels of ADH, secondary factors such as birth asphyxia, RDS, positive pressure ventilation, or any other stressful perinatal event. Typically, you can expect 10 to 15% weight loss in the first week of life, and sometimes more in smaller infants. This is in contrast to term infants, who are allowed to lose up to 10% birth weight and are expected to return to birth weight by approximately 2 weeks of life. Newborns are typically born into a state of total body water and extracellular fluid excess, and this excess fluid needs to be mobilized and excreted. This diuresis phase usually occurs about 2 to 3 days after birth. This can be observed by watching the urine output increase in these first few days of life, along with weight loss, and due to the overall diuresis, the sodium levels will increase secondary to concentration. Of note, premature infants, usually less than 34 weeks, may have altered sodium reabsorption abilities due to their immature kidneys, so they may actually experience sodium renal losses as well. For term infants, their GFR, or glomerular filtration rate, is very low, and they can only concentrate their urine up to 800 milliosmoles per liter, compared to 1500 milliosmoles per liter for older children and adults. The kidneys of premature infants are even less efficient at concentrating urine, and this is due to their low interstitial urea concentration, an anatomically shorter loop of Henle, and a distal tubular and collecting system that's less sensitive to ADH. Based on these principles, let's jump into how fluids are managed in the NICU. Fluids are based on total fluid volume, so you'll hear fluids referred to as mLs per kilo per day. For example, an infant may be on fluids at 100 mLs per kilo per day. If the infant weighs 2 kilos, that would be a continuous fluid rate of about 8.3 mLs per hour. So let's walk through that math really quickly. So 100 mLs per kilo per day for a 2 kilo infant would require the math to start by doing 100 times 2 in order to get the mLs per day, so it's 200 mLs per day. That gets divided by 24 to get your hourly rate, so 200 divided by 24 equals 8.3 mLs per hour. This is the same math used to calculate feeds as well. Let's do an example of a 2 kilo infant taking feeds at 40 mLs per kilo per day. Here, the math starts by doing 40 times 2 to get the mLs per day of feeds. This time, instead of dividing by 24, we divide by 8, since feeds are usually every 3 hours, which equates to 8 feeds in a 24-hour period. That's why the mLs per day gets divided by 8 in order to get the volume of feeds every 3 hours. In this example, we got 80 mLs per day of feeds, which was 40 times 2, and then divide that by 8 to get 10 mLs every 3 hours for feeds. In general, fluids are typically started between 60 and 100 mLs per kilo per day, with starter fluids typically being D10 water, since infants don't require any additional sodium on the first day of life, as they'll go through the diuresis phase and their sodium levels will naturally increase. Sodium is then usually added to the fluids after about 24 hours of life by switching fluids to D10.2. Like we discussed before, the larger or older the infant, the less fluids they require. So on day of life 1, an infant closer to term would require 60 mLs per kilo per day, an infant between 34 to 37 would typically need 80 mLs per kilo per day, an infant between 28 to 34 would typically need about 100 mLs per kilo per day, and the smaller infants and micropremies, those less than 1500 grams and less than 28 weeks, usually require even higher total fluids. The smaller, younger infants need higher total fluids due to their increased body surface area and higher insensible losses. A contributing factor to their increased insensible losses is their thin skin that is not keratinized yet, so they can sometimes require up to 200 to 250 mL per kilo per day, and sometimes even more in order to meet their maintenance fluid requirements. In order to know if maintenance fluid requirements are being met, intake and output will be monitored closely, weight will be trended, and electrolytes should be checked. Infants closer to term usually only require daily electrolytes if they're on fluids, since their kidneys will be a little bit more efficient at holding onto electrolytes. The younger the infant, the more frequently electrolytes will be monitored, sometimes up to Q8 or Q12 to make sure fluid needs are being met. Total fluids are typically increased by increments of 20 mL per kilo per day. So for a term infant, fluids would start at 60 mL per kilo per day on day of life 1, increase to 80 on day of life 2, then 100 on day of life 3, 120 on day of life 4, 140 on day of life 5, and finally to 150 to 160 on day of life 6. Goal total fluids are usually 150 to 160 mL per kilo per day. And to clarify, total fluids should include fluids, feeds, and any continuous drip medications the infant is on. For example, if feeds are at 40 mL per kilo per day and fluids are at 80 mL per kilo per day, then total fluids would be the sum of them at 120 mL per kilo per day in this example. I hope that made sense and helped shed some light on how fluids are managed in the NICU. It's definitely not an easy topic, but as they say, practice makes perfect. Thanks for joining me today on this episode of NICU Basics. This is Dr. Chaco, and I hope to see you again on our next episode. Until next time.